This episode of Nobody's Listening is brought to you in part by Bluehost Hosting, the official hosting service of Nobody's Listening. Unlimited space, unlimited hosting, unlimited bandwidth. Check it all out at nlcast.com/Bluehost. Also by listeners Drew Covert and Januzes Stir Speespec. This one is for you.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No!
Listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, people, this is Nobody's Listening, the show where we do what we do and you listen to it and all that stuff. It is episode 186? Question mark? John, did you know your job? Anyway,
you did it.
It's brought to you in the week of December 13th, 2011. I'm your host. My name is James. And with me, is, as always, is John Snow Mountain Steinklauber. How you doing, John?
Excellent.
Yeah?
And I looked into the camera when I said that because I want you to know that I really do feel good.
All right. So. Excellent.
I'm good.
Yeah, we're broadcasting all of our co-hosts live today for the first time on our live show. So all of you in the chat room, congratulations. You are awesome because you get to see better looking people than me.
Historical.
Yeah. And that other voice you hear is Ethan, a bear finally ate someone, Nicole. How you doing?
Right. Good day to you, sirs.
It's about time Bear Mageddon, quit laying out backstory and started chawing down some people.
Is it violence enough for you guys? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
The guts kind of scare me a little
You
bit.
Made up for lost time. Let's just say that.
But yeah. I like it. It's like when I used to have my friend who could draw in school when I was a kid. I had a friend who could draw, and we'd always make him draw gross stuff. So that was this is going back to that.
Well, it's like I draw most of my comics in black and white, and you just don't realize how graphic it is until the color shows up. They color it, and you get it, and you go, oh, my God, don't worry. And it's like, oh, I got to post that.
Whoops. Don't watch this one, Ethan. I mean, little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on over Malachi. For Max Cop, kids, and see a bear eat someone in one bite.
Half their body.
Well, I was thinking Flute Cop got eaten, but yeah, that's a different show.
All right. Well, we always start open with a opening song. And so this week I chose I Like Trains by Tom Ska. So listen here. I don't know where they got the title from.
This doesn't sound like ska.
What?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Shut up. It's dance party time.
You like trains? From birth, the Alec Trains kid never spoke a word, not even to his parents, not a single sound. Is this from that movie Trainspotting?
No. It's 5,704,013. Make that 14 views.
Wow.
They put him on some Ritalin to see if that would help. Because that helps. The doctor found the perfect dose and that's how he felt. He stared at the doctor with a little creepy smile and the Isle of Trains kid said, I feel great. He got a fancy job and he straightened out his life. He met a nice girl.
I don't know how to do that.
Neither do I, but it doesn't stop me.
Yeah, it's like the new Manuba guy.
I like trains. You like trains, John?
I do, actually.
Ethan?
They're overrated.
Yeah.
Limited, primitive form of transportation.
They're ancient. Don't like trains. Trains are bad. I should put a third picture-in-picture on and show the video. We'll just be picture-in-pictured all over the place with the live show. All right, and that was it. I Like Trains by Tom Scott. We'll have it in the show notes at podcast.nlcast.com. If you... Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, Tom Scott.
I didn't know they still made that.
Yeah, it's really underground again. So I don't know. Yeah. I heard Five Iron Frenzy's getting back together, dude. Five Iron
Frenzy's back.
Wow, they got a song out and everything. I'm excited.
They're doing their album artwork.
Oh, so excited Douglas? About that.
That's cool.
He did. Yeah.
He's their friend. So anyway, yeah, welcome back to the show, everybody. Weekly update time. Let's do it.
Weekly.
You shut your mouth.
Oh, okay, we can do that.
Okay, I'm going to start by telling you that I am the LBB of the year. My daughter did an amazing thing this week. She lost a tooth. She lost one of her front teeth, and that's a big deal for her because, you know, she's got friends that are like a year older than her, and when she met them, they had teeth missing, you know, in the front. It's just she definitely equates that with, you know, being grown up, being big.
It's like the status symbol.
Dude, when she lost that tooth, she burst into tears, not out of pain, not out of fear, but out of radiant joy. Like that kid that got the Xbox on YouTube, you know? It was like that.
Oh.
Her whole face was red. I can't wait to tell everybody. I mean, she got a big old nasty gap in her head.
And she realized her teeth were socks.
Oh, my gosh. It was awesome, though. She, yeah. But yeah,
the video of the kid getting the Xbox, he got socks and not an Xbox, and he was all mad.
Yeah, that's, and then a dragon came. But she,
sorry.
She, anyway, she lost a tooth, right? And it was a big honking deal. And so we stick it in the Tooth Fairy little chest that she has, this little keychain thing, you know, and put it on the pillow. And usually what I do is I do this smooth move, right, where I hug her goodnight, I lean in, I reach under the pillow, and in one move, deposit the money, pull the tooth, you know. I didn't have any cash. I'm like, I'll do it later. Next morning, I'm awakened to this. What, honey? What? Tooth fairy didn't come. Tooth fairy didn't come. And just as excited as she was, just as amazed and wondered, you know, as she was on that, and she's exactly that horrified on the other side, you know. And my wife said later, she said, "You think so good on your feet." Or half asleep, because I said I looked outside and it was still a little dim out. I'm like, baby, it's not officially morning yet, and you know she doesn't have to come until morning. So come lay down in my bed. I'm gonna go call her, okay? Because I have a fake email address. If you want me to use it to text your kids, I will do it. But it's like toothfairy@gmail.com or something like that. So I got up.
It's awesome service.
And I got up and I went and found. I mean, the Tooth Fairy felt very guilty. She usually gets like $5, which is insane. But she got $10 this time.
Ooh.
And so I threw it on the pillow. I go back in and lay down, and right on cue, Jen's alarm goes off. And I'm like, you don't reckon she came already? And so Jenna runs in there and you know, comes back with $10 and all this. And
my goodness.
So she was thrilled. I saved the day. Oh, and no harm
my
done.
Kids
but
are getting quarters.
Oh, well, that's all I got. No paper money. I was lucky to get
I didn't even get that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was lucky to get a dollar.
Get jack squat.
But, yeah, we only got, you know, two kids, so. And plus, I thought that's what you gave. I thought that's, so I'm trying to be like you.
Yeah, I got, like, quarters when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think I got a dollar.
I got fifths of whiskey, but,
jerky. Those little coin-sized jerkies?
What?
Little coin jerkies.
Oh, coin jerkies.
They're called pepperonis.
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, I'm the LBB of the year. It broke my stinking heart when she's like, the Tooth Fairy didn't come. Oh, because you know her head popped off that pillow and she just looked under there and saw that stinking tooth. Oh, it's death. Of her heart.
Nice save. I got to say, nice save, because I would have been like, oh, crap, now I got to tell the truth. There is no, because I can't think when I'm just waking up.
No, man, I was emergency mode. So man. Went in there and saved
well
the
done.
Day. All right. Who wants to go next? John or Ethan?
Ethan?
You know, I don't think I even have anything. I haven't had a very eventful week.
Just make something up. That's what I do. I mean, I don't have anything. You want me to go instead? And then you can think
well,
about
one
it.
Time, okay, how about this? One time I had a pet chinchilla and it died. And
it's funny already.
And it was the middle of the night and I was afraid. I didn't want to deal with it, but I had a previous problem where I had killed or one of my pet rats had died, and I had not dealt with it, and I forgot about it, and it started stinking up my room.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I was in high school, and so I put it in the freezer. I put the chinchilla in the freezer.
Oh, you didn't!
Plastic bag.
No, you did.
Why?
And then once again, I forgot about it, and so then my mom. I got home one night, and there was a note that said, "Ethan, do something about chinchilla in freezer." And my friend, I pulled it out, and it was like rock solid.
Ew.
But like, it was like a fresh chinchilla, but like totally rock solid, like a rock chinchilla. And so my friend over, we just played catch with it.
Just oh, something,
and we throw it as high in the air as we could to see how loud of a thud it would make when it hit the ground.
Did he crack?
It never cracked. It was solid. It was strong. It was very durable. And they're a very delicate animal, but frozen.
Not frozen. They're very dense, apparently. So
yeah, they're delicate, not real delicate. Oh geez,
I just want you to put
out a chinchilla food, and I had fed it like a bunch of raisins, and I found out the raisins make them explode inside.
Oh,
so that's what happened.
Oh my gosh!
And because they love raisins, though, like they eat them like the Dickens, you know, they're just crazy.
It's like
shoving them in their face with their eyes bulging out of the side of their head. And
he's so cute when he eats raisins. He's so cute when his tummy blows up.
Yep. I just want you to put. I want to put a frozen chinchilla on a slicer, and have a slicer. Chinchilla ronies. It'd be awesome. Make a little sandwich, John.
It doesn't. Yeah, chinchilla-sicle. It doesn't really work. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, but chinchilla roni does.
Yeah, it does. Chicharrone.
It's making my stomach turn.
And if the featured story sucks, it will be the title of the episode: chinchilla roni.
Chicharrones.
Oh,
no San
pressure.
Francisco treat.
All right, John, what's your update, bud?
Okay, well, you had mentioned Snow Mountain, which is actually attraction at Stone Mountain here in the Atlanta area. And so I was there over the weekend, and so, you know, taking the family. And it's a cool place. If you've never heard of it or never been, you should Google it.
Looks like a giant stone.
Yes, a big bald stone sticking up out of the ground.
And somebody carved some Confederacy crap in the side of it.
Yeah, that's the South for you, buddy. That's how they do it. It's the South. I don't even know who was in charge of that. But, yeah, it used to be a state park, but now it's, like, privately owned by the same company that owns Dollywood and all that.
Huh.
But so they have this thing they do called Snow Mountain. And they take the big green area and they actually make snow and they make sledding and all that stuff. But
what
that's
color
beside
is it?
The point. What?
What color is it?
It's white.
Okay, making sure.
Some of it's yellow. I noticed some yellow.
It's too late now, bud. Move on.
Gotcha. Anyways, so we were there, and I was walking James, the little boy, in the stroller. I was just pushing him around, and there's a lot of people there. And I look up ahead, and there's this attractive lady standing with this big, huge guy. And I'm a little bit shallow, and I started to think, man, what is that good-looking woman doing with that big, huge man?
I get that all the time.
And Really? No, I was kidding. Anyway, so I get closer and I realize this guy is big. He's enormous, but he's like muscular. And I mean, you got a jacket on, you look big anyways. But this guy was like, he was buff. He looked like a steroid on steroids. And And I was like staring at him, you know, because he's a really strong looking dude. And he's talking to his wife.
Okay, you were attracted to him. We get it. Dang.
Okay. But, so
you like him. You were hot for him.
Hey, shut up, man. I was not.
And he was really, really, really buff. He was so, I mean, let me just lay it out for you guys. He was ripped.
he was, I didn't say it that much. I did not. So this guy, I'm looking at him and I'm like, man, that guy's really big. And
he says it again.
And then he sees me looking at him.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh crap. Well, first, I don't want him to think that I'm making eyes at his wife. And second, I don't want him to think I'm making eyes at him, because I wasn't. So I just kind of gave that little stupid nod that you give people when they catch you looking at him. And he must have been a wrestler or something, because I swear he was about to pull out the microphone and start going all Ric Flair on me or something. So, no, I'm not blushing. The chat room, you guys are punks. Leave me alone.
All right, chat room now.
Wait, is that a story? That's the whole story?
Yeah. And
that's the whole story.
We're looking at a buff guy and he was
let me just help it out a little bit, because people at home, you just don't know this. But now that John is live and has a webcam, I know that he has a horrible tell. Do you know what a tell is, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you're playing poker and you can tell when somebody's bluffing or when they've got a good hand, because they have these things that they do. John, I didn't know this until today. John actually performs the podcast while sitting on an exercise ball, people. did you know this? When he gets nervous and when he's feeling a little under the gun, he apparently bounces on this thing. Like nervously.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You don't even know, man.
Because the whole time I was picking on you about the boff guy, you're just like,
you're a punk.
So, and then you sit still when you're cool, you know. But,
oh, great.
Hey, I'm not here to judge, John. You know, if you were staring at this guy, you probably had more to worry about from his wife than him. Time for us to mention the chat room, and I'm glad we're going to do that right now. Are any of you guys really boff? John would love you to send him a picture.
You're a jerk.
Let's mention some names. Blackout Girl, Chamomile, Dachshund, Dr. Quest, Italian Burrito, J-Man, Metal, 0130, Mr. Jack, Norwegian Girl. Pistol Pete, I always thought that was pedophile for some reason. Silly Moose, Suspect, Apollo, The Angry Birds, Zelda Free, Captain R. Duke, and a whole bunch of other anonymous people. Thank you so much for joining us. You can join us every Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. And you can watch not only me and John bouncing on exercise balls, but you can also see our third host, Ethan Nicole, live sketching the entire show.
Live
right there at nlcast.com/live. So we've got a lot of good feedback on that this week. People love it.
I'm glad you guys are liking it.
They said it brings the show to a whole new level, and I agree.
Oh, here, I'm showing a little close up. I drew a quick John here, but he's got a little Christmas hat on.
You put too much hair on it though. There's six strands really pushing the realism.
Okay.
A new level.
I just look balder because of the way the light is hitting my hair. See? I got some.
It's all right. You just keep growing that stuff out, oh, man. Crap. It'll cover a multitude of sins there. Let's do some news though. Okay. News. This week, John's bald. And that's why that was funny.
I'm not. Yet.
Next week though, I want to tell you a little bit of a preview, and you guys, this is news for you too, is I want to do a theme show on the 20th, and a Christmas theme show, because we have already started getting some great, amazing stories in. I said I wanted to preview them just a little bit here. One of them is about, kids want to talk more about sand and veggie tales. Oh, a kid that used what do they call candy cane as a weapon? A child. Ooh. And let's see, where's the other weapon. One here? The other one is somebody catching themselves on fire during a Christmas play. So if you have a...
Oh, that's going to be good.
They're great. Matter of fact, I was going to read them tonight, and I was like, no, this is the beginnings of a wonderful, you know, feature show. So you got a week, people. Yes. Send in, call in, email in your Christmas stories, and the more embarrassing and horrible, the better. And me and Ethan and John will be sharing some of our own, and we'll just make it a whole Christmas fandango. So if you have a frozen chinchilla that you opened on Christmas from Ethan, I'd like to hear about it. So,
all right.
I also love for you guys to check out the NLCast iPhone and Android apps. I got word that the Android app is no longer for sale in the Android marketplace. It is, in fact, in the Amazon Android marketplace. So just look it up on Amazon. And you can pick it up, and you can get the bonus content from this show and previous shows. Specifically, last week, got a wonderful conversation with John's son. It was drop dead hilarious and awesome. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback on Twitter and stuff about that, and said it was worth the money for the app just for that one conversation.
That's funny.
All right. Well, so check that out. Anytime. You can also sponsor an episode of Nobody's Listening for $5, and we'll mention your show at the front of the show, just like you do. And the only reason why I mention that is, you know, we give to you constantly, and we'd appreciate a little bit in return. It helps pay the bills, keeps us going, helps us do extra things like buy an additional sound card so we can put video out for you guys. And then for $10, we'll mention your URL, your business. You know, you could do a dedication. You could ask someone to marry you, whatever you want to do right there. So you got two options. Go check them both out. NLCast.com and our podcast.nlcast.com, and then click on sponsor an episode, and we'll do that. We appreciate our existing sponsors and our past sponsors, and we would welcome additional ones. All right. Let's do, some of this though here.
Featured story.
All right, feature story time, and today the reins are going to be taken by none other than our very own John Wilbur Steinklobber. John, what is your middle name?
Wilbur? Wilbur?
What is your middle name?
Wilbur.
It's Harold.
Really?
Yeah.
You a lie, because you're bouncing.
Like, no, I'm serious.
Bouncy liar.
I do it when I'm nervous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You feel, it's either a lie or it's you really hate that name. Can I call you Harry?
Sure. Okay. It's almost true.
Almost.
I'm not bald. yeah, my middle name is Harold, and it was my grandfather's name, so I inherited his hairline and his middle name.
It's all right. I had a friend, his middle name was Watha. John Watha.
Was his last name Heck?
No, it was R.
John, what the heck?
No, it was Watha, not what the. And it was a family name as well. So curses on family names, man.
What about Watha Dishes? Watha Dishes.
Hey, that sounds like my daughter now that her tooth's missing.
What's the matter?
What's the matter? All right, John, take us away on it to a better place. Okay.
Well, let me take you back to the basics of the hip hop scene with a loop. And we've already done this
with a mic and a loop and a mic. You know what I mean? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's so DC talk stuff.
We'll go back to. Yeah, sorry, people who just don't care about that. Anyways, we're going back to high school with me, and I went to a small private school. I probably mentioned that before. And one of the things about a small private school is that you
can't. John,
you what?
I gotta say this, okay? If you go to a small private school, does it mean that it's a special school for people?
You're going with this. What?
Is it a school for people?
Sure, man.
With small privates. I mean, I just wondering. You went to a small private school. Okay.
Jeez. No.
I'm going to mute so I can die.
No, it was a well-endowed school.
Wow. An endowment for the arts. Okay.
It was, okay, gosh. Oh. Oh, it was a small Christian school. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello, I'm a Christian. Small Christian. Can I go to your school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we represent a little Christian.
No. Keep going, John. Sorry.
Okay, anyways, one of the things about going to a school that doesn't have a very high attendance or enrollment, so to speak, is that you pretty much are a walk-on for whatever sports team that there is.
You're the best and the worst all at once.
Yes. So I played basketball and I played football there. And we didn't play, you know, tackle football. We had to play flag football. You know, and we got made fun of for that by all the other public school kids because, you know,
you play flag football.
And we always had to come back with, oh, it's tougher because you can't touch anybody and you have to run faster.
But as since we don't go to a small private school, we don't have to wear protective cups. So.
Dang it, man. Well, that is actually true. I didn't wear it. And that actually goes into my story because one of the things about flag football is that, you know, you have to juke and jive and move so that they can't pull the flags. You wear this belt that's got three flags on it. When they pull a flag, they actually pull the whole belt. And I, you know, I had been playing for a couple of years, and I probably was a sophomore or junior. And had many mishaps on the field, but this one in particular was a great mishap that I don't want to relive. However, I shall for your entertainment.
Yay!
I was running. I was playing a linebacker at this time, and I had just received the handoff, and I was making a good run. I was going to cut across the line of scrimmage there. And I was avoiding people. I was doing really good. And then this guy comes out of nowhere, and he goes to pull my flag, and he reaches down, and he grabs all of me.
Oh, man.
That is not my flag. And he...
Is it yours?
He grabbed my junk, okay? And then he realized that it was not my flag, and he's like, "Oh man, I'm sorry." I'm like, "Hey!" And it hurt so bad.
I didn't know flags had poles, so I just.
Stop, man, it's not even funny. So that was the first experience. Now that I had had many experiences on this unfortunate football field and team, I have to. I should mention right now that our record was do you start with the winning number when you have a good seat? We had no wins pretty much. We didn't the 4 years that I
John was weeping over in the corner holding and covering himself like an abused child.
You know how T-bowing is the thing now? Well, we were just so happy if we actually scored. We were T-bowing before the game started, so, you know, and we just missed everything. We just were terrible. But one of the things that happened on this football field, one of our games, I was doing quite well, and my pants didn't quite fit. They were a little loose. So, again, flag football. I was making a good run. I was dodging. I was going. And somebody decided to go for – you know, more than just one flag. So they grabbed my pants and they actually ankled me on the field.
Oh, gosh.
And,
ankled you, I guess. Yeah, I know what that means.
Pantsed you.
Yeah, I got you.
Pantsed me. Oops. Yeah, they pantsed me, exposing everything. Well, not everything.
I have to draw that.
No, please don't. I'm not going to model for you. I had a lucky pair. You guys in the chat room are awesome. I had a lucky pair of boxers that I would wear, and I really wish I could say they were like super manly, but they weren't. They were like satiny blue. And
that was your team colors. That's awesome. You're so patriotic.
Yeah, they were satiny blue. And when I got pantsed, that's what everybody saw.
awesome.
And, you know, I probably should have not worn them because...
No, I think they wearing them was probably a great idea.
Well, yeah, definitely. But so I got, and so the only thing I could do, it was like right there on the 50-yard line, and people were cheering. So the only thing I could do was take a bow. So
wow.
I took a bow, me in my blue underwear, and I pulled my pants back up and got back in the game.
I just love to see the commentator. John's coming down the yard line there, and oh, there he is. He's got there those pants down past the line of scrimmage, past the 50, all the way to a touchdown. So.
Oops, he lost his britches.
Those are a nice periwinkle blue, aren't they?
I bet they the very next year they said we're going to go back to tackle football. It's a lot less vulgar.
I wish they would have, because man, I suffered some serious injuries that year. And the last story I'll tell you about my illustrious flag football career is the last game I played my senior year. Again. Actually, this year I was playing quarterback. I don't know why. I was the best of the worst, I guess.
There was only two people on your team. Okay, come on.
We had a seven-person team.
Oh.
I mean, and a lot of times I played offense and defense, you know, right back-to-back. So that's why we lost every game, because I was so tired. But I played quarterback, and we had this trick play that we did, and I wound up with the ball, and it was a good play. Anyways, I was cutting down the side, and I was headed towards the end zone. You know, and one of the moves that you do in flag football is you spin. You know, if somebody's going for your flags, you just kind of spin, do like a 360-degree spin. And I had turned, and I was running backwards, and these guys are all swiping at me, trying to get my flag and stuff. And somehow I tripped over my foot, and as I was falling backwards, I put my hand back behind me. And I felt my hand hit the ground, and I felt it bend way too far. I never heard a snap or anything like that, but I jumped up and I grabbed my wrist, and I said, "Ah, it's broken! It's broken!" And I was running, and I don't know, somebody had to grab me and put me down on the ground or something, because I knew it was broken. I look at my wrist, and my hand is just in a very awkward position, and the bone was sticking out. And
no way. You're lying. You're bouncing. You're bouncing, you liar. I saw it. Freaking tell.
Here's my tell. The bone was sticking out. No, seriously, though. Yes. I did break it, and it was my wrist was all crooked, and I looked down, and I'm like, oh, this is so – have you ever broken anything?
Never.
Mm-mm. Never?
No, I broke
– You get this – you broke what?
You don't play sports.
Yeah, I drew things. So, yeah.
Artists don't play sports. Well, I you get this sick feeling in your stomach, like you're about to vomit. At least that's what I've heard from other people.
Yeah, that could just come from extreme pain too. I've gotten that before.
Yeah,
sprains. Well,
I got a paper cut one time that was pretty bad, and I had that happen.
I got a pencil lead stuck in my finger once. But, they had to put me down on the ground, and somebody went and found an old cereal box, and they tried to splint my wrist in that, and it was just the worst.
It's the South for you. Here's some duct tape in a Cheerios box. Fix him up.
And I had to go to the base doctor, because remember down there in Kingsland, Georgia, Bay.
I love the base doctor. My come on in here and have Navy, a seat. So. We're going to fix you up just right. I'm the base doctor.
The base doctor, man. The clinic. I had to go to the clinic. And, so I had to get it, and they had to set it. You know, like they couldn't do it that day. I had to come back the next day to an orthopedic doctor. And, man, this is the worst thing. I'm going to have to tell you this because it was so painful. They said, oh, yeah, it looks like the little piece of the bone there is just kind of floating around. So what we're going to do is we're going to take your arm, and we're going to set the bone. And if it holds right, then we're going to go ahead and put a cast on it. And if it doesn't, well, we're just going to take you into surgery and put some pins in it. I was like, oh, that sounds great. So they made me lay down on this table, and they said, we're going to give you a few shots in your hand. And it's going to make it numb, and you're going to feel fine. You won't mind us setting this bone. I was like, oh, that's okay. I don't mind the shots, because this pain is killing me. So they put the shots in, and then they say, okay, the nurse comes around and lays like both hands on my bicep, and she's just holding my arm down. And then the doctor grabs my wrist with both hands and puts his thumb on my wrist, and then he pulls my arm up, and then he bends my wrist over.
Why?
And the whole time I'm like, I got tears coming out of my eyes, and I'm crying, and because it hurts so bad, and not because I'm a wimp. And they said it, and they said, well, that looks good. And I'm thinking the whole time, if those shots were supposed to take the pain away, those things didn't do any good because it hurt so bad. And that's when they set my arm. That's all.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I had a Unless you want me to tell you about the time my arm fell off.
No, it's okay. I had a friend, though, that in he got a cast and the whole thing, and when he had it off, his arm, I mean, they had apparently fixed it one way, but if he held it out in front of him, there was an obvious 40-degree, it's probably not that severe, but a 20-degree, bend in his forearm, and they had to re-break his arm.
Oh,
and I would have just kept it.
Ouch.
I would have just kept the bend. I would
just keep bent.
Yeah, this is my superpower. I have a bent arm. It's easier for me to wipe. It's got a back in the 80s or 90s when they were bending all the rake handles and shovel handles to that certain degree.
The ergonomic.
Yeah, yeah.
So ergonomic arm.
You just have an ergonomic arm. That's it, man. It's easier to eat bananas and all kinds of stuff. But you're right. Doctors, dude, they love to take whatever hurts. It's almost better not to tell them. Because I went in one time with an arm thing or a leg thing or something, and they make you X-ray in these positions that just force you, to do things you couldn't even do if you weren't hurting, And they enjoy it.
I know. They're like, okay, hold your hand like when they were doing the X-rays. Hold your hand like you're holding a Coke can and stick your pinky out towards the other side of the room. I'm like, I can't even move my fingers. Why are you telling me to hold my hand like I got a Coke can in it? But I didn't complain like that. I wanted to, but I didn't. I just did what he told me to because I was afraid he's going to grab my arm and squeeze it again.
Yep, it's broken.
So I don't recommend breaking your arm. Or anything, really.
What I imagine, though, and I'm going to finish your story, is the doctor made you do two or three other horrible, painful and even embarrassing positions. and then he, after it was over, he says, sorry I had to put you through all that, but my son goes to a large private school. And once your team played his team, And you grabbed his junk. And so I'm sorry. That was the other way around. I ruined it. Whatever. Flipping dadgum. Whatever.
I got kicked in the junk.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one I was looking for. Yeah. I bombed. It's okay. It happens. All right. Let's do some of these things real quick here.
ENV mail.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, we've got some stories for you. My sister's grade 4 and 5 teacher had something like diabetes. So she had dodgy nerve endings. Getting that this person's not from the States. One day, when he was making a fence, he hammered a star picket into the earth. Now, I'd look up what a star picket was, because I don't think we sell them here. And it's like a post that is the shape of a star. I mean, it's like has points coming out from a central axis. Anyway, he went on to do the next one, but he realized he couldn't move his foot because he had nailed the star picket into the ground and straight through his foot. But because of his bad nerves, he couldn't feel it. It's still creepy. Wait,
what? Are you serious?
Well, yeah. If you don't take care of your diabetes, you your feet fall off or something. So. He was pretty close. He shouldn't have been star picketing anything.
Wait, what's a star picket?
Look it up on Google. It is a type of fence post, apparently, that's sold in the UK and Australia. So, yeah.
It sounds like it's from outer space.
It does. It sounds like something you'd eat at Christmas.
It sounds like something you would use if you were protesting outer space. You'd star pick it.
I hate stars. We need to get rid of them crappy things.
Occupy space. Stars.
Or if you really, really hated, like, you know, Lady Gaga, you know, or something, or any anybody that was famous.
Anybody famous?
Yeah.
I'm star picketing.
They're all out, up and down L.A. Walk of Fame, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to draw that instead.
Yeah, I'm going to draw that
instead. I don't know what a star picket is, so I'm making it up. So we're sorry about your friend. I hope his feet are okay.
Yeah, I hope the hole healed.
Ouch. Say that three times fast.
Hope the hole healed. Hope the hole healed. Hope the hole healed.
Hole heal. Hole heal. Yeah, yeah. I can't say that. Hey guys, great show. Congrats on adding Ethan to the mix. Woohoo! Hearing you guys talk about rooster attacks on episode 184 compelled me to add in my two attack rooster stories, and I'll try to keep them short. So will I, since I'm reading it. The first one comes from childhood, when my brother and I each got a chicken for Easter. Hey!
Aw, that's nice.
That's so stupid. I mean, sweet. Mine was named Pepper, and my brother's was named Fluffy. Both excellent chicken names, by the way. Salt and Pepper would have been better, but Pepper...
Pepper and Fluffy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pepper turned out to be a hen. Fluffy grew up into a huge white rooster who was nice enough until his girl Pepper was offed by a neighborhood dog. Then Fluffy turned mean. Sounds like an indie movie.
Pepper and Fluffy. What? This time it's personal.
Just sounds like an independent movie. Like the chicken mutates into a man-sized costume version of a chicken and starts chasing girls through the woods. But anyway, Fluffy turned mean, really, really mean. And all of our outdoor activities for an entire summer became dictated by where that darn rooster was at any given time. There were lots of stories that could be told here, but it's best but the best is when a friend came over to play, Bert, and the rooster spotted him, chased him down our long driveway, a couple hundred feet long, across the street, into the woods, up a tree, and then the rooster just circled the tree waiting for him to come down like a coon dog on a raccoon. He was there for at least a couple hours before somebody noticed him and scared the rooster off. Sorry for that.
An attack rooster named Fluffy, of all things.
Oh, man.
It's funny.
Okay, second story. To prove that, A, you can punt a rooster. Ethan mentioned that attack plan. And B, what happens when you do. He says, my oldest daughter was about 2 years old when we were walking in my parents' yard. And one of the roosters came charging out of the blue, jumped up, spurred her in the head. She was a few feet ahead of me, so it took a few seconds for me to get to her and scoop her up to safety. She was scared and cut, but not too badly hurt. Anyway, after rescuing my daughter and shooing the rooster away, I started to head inside to get her cleaned up, but as soon as I turned my back, I could hear that rooster charging from behind me. I wonder what that sounds like. It's like a train.
So it sounds like Elmo's drowning.
It sounds like a train and a rooster mixed together. So I quickly spun around, and without time to even think, I dropped my daughter right on the chicken. I'm kidding. No tell for me. So I quickly spun around, and without time to even think, I instinctively kicked the charging rooster as hard as I could. Good for you, man. Everybody ought to kick a rooster at least once in your life. It just sounds fun. Sounds satisfying. They should make it an Olympic sport. Rooster kicking, dude. I'll take gold.
Rooster booting.
Rooster
That's
booster.
That's probably like PETA will be all over that.
That's right. I called it a punt earlier, but it was really more like a kick and a field goal. Did I mention that I was wearing steel-toed boots? No, you didn't. I'm glad you did. That's awesome.
That's satisfying.
That is, man. Crunch. It's crispy chicken. Anyway, that... That stupid old bird went flying backwards with enough force. That's why I edit. With enough force to travel 15 feet in the air and go through, yes, through a garden fence. To get the visual, the fencing had holes in it roughly the size of a postcard. At first, I thought I'd managed to kill it, but after just a few seconds, it stood up, shook its feathers out, and went proudly on its way, but it never bothered me again. Great show. Thanks for all the laughs, Aaron. That's awesome. Love it.
That's like the Terminator rooster.
Dude, roosters are tough. They're made out of evil and jelly. That's it, man.
Evil and jelly.
I'm going to... Are you Sarah Connor? because I'm going to shoot you.
I'm going to spur you. All right, one more. Hey, James, John, and Ethan. Today, I decided on a story to send you, so here we go. It's from Jared Bender. When I was in elementary school, I spent a few years at Catholic school. It was very small. Seems to be a problem with you private school guys. And with one
stop.
He didn't specify that pronoun. Sorry. It was very small with one class for each grade and about 120 people total. It's not very private at all. Because of this, the only priest from the church next door. Oh, this is awesome. I need to series it up because this is a good story. Because of this, the only priest from the church next door was able to come to our class and talk to us about once a week. So one of these occasions when I was in fifth grade, right before I moved to Chicago, which is an important point to make, the clock was hung on the class's wall, and it was kind of set by the internet or satellite or something similar, but it was about 6 hours off due to me and some of my friends messing with it. When the priest was done talking to us, I raised my hand and I said, "Hey, the clock behind you is wrong." So he pulls it off the wall and suddenly says, "Jesus, powers activate." And he pressed a button on the back that sets the clock automatically. It instantly synced with the radio and started zooming hours ahead at a time while it figured out what time it was. I knew what it was doing, but the whole class just stared in awe, believing that he had some kind of holy superpower. The moral of the story is that sheltered kids are gullible. Jared Bender, I love that. I'm going to start saying that every single day. Jesus powers, activate! Jesus powers,
activate! That is awesome.
So, I am now a superhero for Jesus. Officially.
Oh, dude, I like that's a great story.
Love it. Have you ever seen those clocks, though? They're synced to the radio thing or whatever that's out there. And yeah, they will. They'll just start looping around the dial until
atomic
they get
clock.
Yeah. There you go. They don't blow up. They set themselves.
They just keep time. Really
I love priests with a sense of humor, man. That's awesome. Oh, man. Okay, it's time for that time of the show when we do what we do, what we do, what we do. So let me play this while I get my guitar ready.
Nobody's Listening Podcast. Rated G for giggles and glee.
All right. It is recap song time, and so we're going to do our best to recap the entire show in song. So, John, if you would, feed me lines, and I will I'll happily divvy them out in the form of music.
Yeah. Let's start from the top.
Okay.
James is not a very good tooth fairy.
Okay. All my life, I've done the best I can. At least the father part of my life, to give my children the best things that I never had. But the problem is, no matter how good I is, it always turns out so darn bad, because I'm stupid and that's sad. Yeah, yeah. And my daughter lost a tooth. That was a really big deal. I forgot to be tooth fairy, and it made her feel so ill. If I could take it back, I'd climb under your pillow and replace that tooth with cash. But as it is, I deserve someone to kick my rear end.
All right, John. Give me some, baby. Okay. I want to hear about Ethan's frozen chinchilla.
Frozen animals. They are a very bad idea. This is a theme that repeats itself on the show. I don't know how I feel. You know when you hear a strange word, and after you say it a lot, it hardly makes any sense. That's the way this frozen animal crap's going down, and I don't know if I like it. But Ethan threw a frozen mammal halfway through his house, and it didn't break apart. I think a chinchilla's like a mouse, but cuter and less frozen. At least it normally is. Just don't be owned by Ethan if you don't want to be frozen.
Don't die around him, at least.
Don't die, or he will put you in a plastic bag and freeze your butt. And then when you are good and solid, he will take your life apart by throwing you to a friend. Oh, my frozen chinchilla-tossing friend Ethan.
Chicken butthole. I want to hear about hunting a rooster.
Okay.
Bold kick with steel-toed shoes.
I protect my family. It's what I do. If there's a bad guy standing around, I call the cops on you. But what do you do when the bad guy has a beak and some spurs? What do you do when the bad guy is a bird? You kick the bird, don't shoot the bird. Kick the bird, don't shoot the bird. Kick that bird through the goalpost fence of life. Kick the bird in the head with your steel-toe boots on. Kick him right across your parents' lawn. That's the way you have to do it. If you want to protect your child, just do it. Just do it. Kick your bird. Kick your bird. Kick that rooster.
Don't shoot it.
Don't shoot it. Don't shoot the bird. Just kick the bird. Don't flip the bird. Don't flip the bird. Just shoot that. I mean, kick that bird.
You want one more?
Yeah. What's the feature story?
I'm going to do it. Here we go.
No, don't you dare. John went to a very small private school. It was something everyone there thought was cool. And he was by default the star quarterback. Even though there were no muscular men there, he did all he could. And he had hair then. It was so special. He even won a trophy with a muscular man on top. Johnny, the small private schoolboy, overcompensating during a touch football game. I wonder if everybody else is just like me. So he grabbed the boy between the knees, then go north. Oh, wait, it wasn't you. It was the other guy?
I didn't grab anybody. Grabbed.
I'm sorry. I've reversed this story in my head. All right.
This is twice.
I was wrongly accused. It was me that got abused. I'm just a boy trying to make it through with only two girls to choose through in my grade. And I've already dated them both. So now I go to Stone Mountain and see what other team has got to offer. It doesn't rhyme, but it's a good song. It doesn't rhyme, but it's a good song. Makes you laugh and it's a good song. That's why we call him John Steingrabber. Oh, that's right. You didn't grab anybody. I keep trying to make you gay. Why is that?
Why Stein got grabbed?
I don't know. Stein got grabbed her.
Just to kill.
Oh, Lord. You guys don't know what you're missing if you're not.
That's my idea for a metal band name, by the way.
Testicle.
Oh, my gosh.
If you don't know, you don't know what you're missing if you're not here on the live show, people. That's all I'm going to say right about now. Guys, it's time for us to go. So let me do a little bit of shop work here. The website, podcast.nlcast.com. You can email us, james@nlcast.com. That's how you get stuff to us. Call us if you want to, 2095-NLCast. Remember, next week is our theme show, Christmas. We want to see what's been going on in your life. And we want stories so weird that we wonder why you still celebrate it Facebook and Twitter /InnoCast for me /JSteinklobber /E Nicole or Axe Cop or Bear Mageddon if you can spell that mess. Join us for a live show Tuesday nights, 9:30. Leave an iTunes review if that's how you found us. And check out all of the great NLCast Podcast Network shows at NLCast.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Rob Gobers, for our theme music. Thanks to our spouses for letting us record, minus Ethan, our contributors, and everyone who listens. And remember, if you don't tell a funny life story, then don't wonder why nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.